Moncrief on News Talk.
With the all-new Dacia Duster. We've even impressed ourselves with this one.
Now, if you've watched all the Netflix, you might be getting stuck for things to pass the time. Thankfully, we're joined now by Barbara Feeney to suggest some quarantine hobbies that you may not have thought of. Barbara, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Are you well?
I'm very well, and I've just been released from self-isolation, so I've had plenty of time to think of these quarantine hobbies.
Right. So, and just to explain that to people, Barbara is recently returned from Australia, which is why she had to go into a self-isolation. Is there much of a difference between self-isolation and the restrictions on you now?
There aren't. The only thing that's different is visiting the supermarket. And I did visit the supermarket for the first time this morning, and I can tell you it was a very strange experience because I haven't been in an Irish supermarket since July. So obviously the contrast was quite great.
Yes. But at the same time, I suppose, had you seen many people in the previous 2 weeks that you didn't know?
Like mostly on FaceTime and from a distance, like the Pope on my balcony from the apartment, I'd waved at people now from quite a far distance.
Yeah.
Just clarify that.
Right, yes, of course. Well, the Pope does it from a far distance as well, I assume. So that must have felt something like an improvement for you.
It did. It felt quite liberating to see just other strangers and to go to a shop, even if most people were wearing face masks. It was good.
Yeah. Gosh. Right. So some of the activities that Barbara has been thinking about during her confinement, but not that sort of confinement, obviously. The first one is topiary. Some people mightn't even know what that is.
Yes, Sean. So, but I think people be familiar if we mention Edward Scissorhands. Mm. He created some marvelous creations in the movie. So essentially, it's clipping shrubs or trees into ornamental shapes. So something quite peculiar, but I think something to take up. It's spring. Get your secateurs or your shears out. Maybe start small and, you know, maybe start by shaping the hedge just symmetrically and then you could get more crafty. Do a dinosaur like Edward Scissorhands did.
Do you need specialised tools to do that, though?
Not that I'm aware of, but I think, like, you probably do. But listen, use what you have. It's a pandemic. Open your shed, take out what you have. And just try it at home.
People aren't going to be that judgy, really.
No, not at all.
Now, your second suggestion is artistic lawn mowing. Now, this sounds like something pretty much anyone could do. What does
exactly
that mean, though, in practical terms?
Well, I mean, it's spring now. The grass is starting to grow. So it means just, well, either carving a shape or some sort of artistic design into your lawn. Or you could make your lawn look like a football field, or you could make it look like a golf course or put diamonds into it. My personal favorite is doing it in circles. So there's wonderful videos online. So what you need to do is every second rotation needs to be done in the opposite direction to get that textured look. And I think the Garda helicopter will have a great time looking down if everyone designs their lawns nicely.
And these are things that there's a YouTube video for everything, really.
Oh,
so there
yeah.
probably is a YouTube video for this.
Yeah, there's all sorts of YouTube videos telling you how to do the various designs. And like, you'd need to be quite careful. And I'm sure at the start, people will do it wrong. But you could make a beautiful, I think the nicest I saw was some sort of diamonds cut into the lawn. And it looked beautiful. It was in some hotel. So start small, go bigger, get craftier.
Yeah, I'd say when you build up your skills, you could make little faces or, you know, do a cartoon or something.
There's a few rude ones as well.
Oh, brilliant.
Yeah. So
have a
Google and you'll see them.
And of course, again, this is an outdoorsy one, but that's, you know, predicated on the idea that you have a garden. To learn survival skills in the garden, what kind of dangers lurk in your garden, first off, that you'd need to survive?
Now, I mean, you'd be practicing in the garden for when you're going, when we look ahead in life, when we're traveling and maybe we're out in the outback or in the rainforest. Mm. So there isn't, I suppose, much danger in the garden. And just to say, before we talk about these skills, maybe have an adult present, you know, safety is advised. But to get some ideas or inspiration, there's this marvelous man named Ray Mears. So he's a British bushcraft expert and he used to have TV shows in the 90s. He's sort of a more authentic and better version of Bear Grylls. Mm. So I'm thinking of things like fort building, outdoor fort building, making a fire, baking bread outside and kind of learning smoke and mirror signaling. Sounds absolutely mad.
Okay.
But listen, it could be a bit of fun.
Now you have some experience with this. You've done things like this.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't want to boast about my skills, but in the summer I spent 2 months camping across southern Africa. So, I mean, I do know how to build a bit of an outdoor oven when you only have kind of fire from underneath. Because obviously, when you build an oven, you need to have consistent heat all around. So you want to. Ray Mears has a great video about baking bread outside. So obviously, you need to have heat on the top for the bread to bake from above. So you obviously have to put hot coals. So if you're baking, I suppose, a shepherd's pie outside, you'd have to have a fire underneath and then put tin foil or some sort of piece of metal on top and then put hot coals on top of that to have consistent heat all around.
Right.
It's really fascinating.
And what would you make your oven out of?
Well, what you could do is you could build your fire, and then you have to have some sort of something to hang your whatever you're cooking your bread in. Or a lot of people would have sort of a metal kind of rack to sit your pan or your pot on. But I'm sure you could make that. Now, I'm not Ray Mears, so I don't have all the answers, Sean. But
yeah. Okay. Do you know, though, whether that the baking bread outside involved yeast? Because you just can't get yeast for love nor money now. I'd kill for yeast at this point.
Not that I'm aware of. But you could also do flatbread like chapati, which is basically just flour and water. And you could do that outside on top of your fire. All you need is a frying pan. You literally mix flour and water, you roll it up, and then you flatten it like you would a pizza base, and you put it on a pan with a bit of oil, and you flip it over when it's cooked on one side, and it's absolutely delicious. Sounds very plain, but it's really nice.
And you've done this. You've made this.
I did this out in the outback of Mozambique. Listen.
Right. Okay. So there you go. And then she, and fueled by her chapati, she went off then and killed a wildebeest with her bare hands. Right. Now, the one I've been looking forward to, snail racing.
Yes. Now, this is something that kind of repulses me because I hate bugs. But this is like really interesting. The National Trust have some really good guidelines on their website. So essentially, you need to find your snails. Obviously, always being kind to the snails. Draw out a track. The best way to do the track is on your... Obviously, if you have a patio or if you have a front yard, or even do it on the footpath, but obviously somewhere where there's not going to be people walking across you, draw out a circle, kind of like a target. So you draw a smaller circle with chalk and then a larger circle around it, place the snails in the middle, and then off you go. Let them work their way out to the outside.
Okay. Is there any guarantee the snails will actually move?
No, there isn't. But I suppose that's nature. You just have to wait and see.
But if you leave a carrot or something at the edge of the ring, they won't like gallop towards it or anything.
Yeah. I have no experience because the snails terrify me. But from what I've seen on the internet, they do move very slowly. There is a snail racing world championships held every year in England. So it obviously it's a thing.
Oh, yeah, I think we've done an item on that. It sounds like the sort of thing we've done an item on. Now, people of a certain age, I suppose, I don't know if Art Attack is on the telly anymore, but people will remember Art Attack and to kind of adapt that idea.
Yes, so Neil Buchanan used to always do the big kind of design or kind of big set piece at the end where he would do a giant picture, but he would make it of all sorts of different things. So I think you could do your own one, like even in the garden or out in the road. So basically what you want to do is you'd want to design what you're going to create on a piece of paper first and decide what you're going to need, what components you're going to need. But you could use things like towels, cushions, leaves, books. You get a bit of grass and like twigs. You know, think what sort of colours are outside or what you have in the house that you could build a giant picture. And if you had a drone with a camera, you could then fly it up and take a picture from up high and see how good your creation is.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, some indoor activities now. Now, you have beard growing down. Now, is that an actual activity or just letting yourself go?
Well, it seems basic and it does sound like it's just letting yourself go. But I think you can make it into a hobby if you want. My brother and his friends are actually sending each other pictures every day of their beard growth. But you could start growing it and then cultivating it. So there's some brilliant inspiration online. You're not going to be seeing a lot of people at the moment. So you could, you know, design a beautiful mustache, or you could decide you want to look like Mr. Twit, or you could get long sideburns. You know, you could get really crafty with your razor and your scissors.
I suppose, yeah.
You don't have to have that fear of having to go to the office.
Yeah.
Obviously, unless you're a doctor or someone who's working on the front line or in a supermarket, you don't want to have to go back to work and see people.
Now, the next one is one to be taken under advisement if you've children in the house, especially because you advise using wine bottles and they're even more valuable than yeast these days, but it's starting a house band.
Yes, I'm sure parents would want to kill me for suggesting this, but what you could do, gather any utensils or objects in the house that you could turn into an instrument. I recommend the classics, pots and pans and wooden spoons, but you could also do wine glasses filled with water. You know, when you wet your finger and you put it around the rim of a wine glass and it makes that noise. That could be part of the band. You could also get some empty bottles and fill them with rice, a few spoons, and then wheelie bin can make a good drum to beat. Now, it sounds like it would be an absolute racket, but if you're in any way musically inclined, I think you could do something great with this.
Yeah. Well, it depends, I suppose, on how musical
exactly.
Your children may or may not be. Building a fort. And now that's one like... Parents would be delighted to do that because that brings them back to their own childhood.
Yes, this is a personal favourite and a great time to do it. So what you just, it's as it says on the tin, you just need to get all of your materials. I recommend best thing to have sheets. Clothes pegs are brilliant for clipping the sheets up. Ideally, you want to suspend sheets from shelves or door frames somewhere to get a bit of height. Like you would think if you're building like a tent. And if you had any sort of secure structure, like even a bamboo stick or something that to support the structure in the middle. But listen, do what you can. Obviously, cushions, the best ones for the side of the fort are the cushions from the couch that you sit on. Or you could also tip the couch over to have as a side.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then there's some really jazzy ones on YouTube that have fairy lights in them. So...
Now, we did interview a fella last week who ran a marathon on his balcony. And I suppose people could do that in their houses as well.
Yeah, I was thinking that you could measure out a space in any room, you know, divide that into 40 kilometres and then find out how many lengths you need to do to complete a marathon. And you could have a time trial and compete against your family. And, you know, obviously, if you don't want to do it for that distance, you could shorten it.
This is for kind of those annoying families who are all fit.
Yes, exactly.
I haven't spent the whole time using
pies. I certainly won't be doing this.
Yeah. Now, miniature photography does sound intriguing. Describe what that is.
So this is basically when you mix real world objects with the miniature world. So I'm sure lots of people are familiar with the pictures, but essentially what you could do at home is get small figurines or Lego people or any little miniature toys and you build them into a scene using real world objects. So essentially, for example, you get a sugar bowl and it becomes like a ski slope for your little Lego man, or you get a turnip and it becomes a mountain, or a banana and it becomes a slide, and you take photos of it and you try and like build the little Lego man into the real world. It's very cool.
Oh, right. Okay. That is actually, and you could get really engrossed in that for hours.
Definitely. And just think of your house, all the different things. Like imagine a TV and the size difference between the Lego man and the TV. It's really cool.
Do you need some sort of fancy camera to do any of this?
Ah, I'm sure any smartphone camera would work nowadays.
Yeah. Okay. Somebody just texted in to say, while listening to your current guest, I've just come across the Little Book of Minge Topiary.
Nice.
Page 70 apparently is their favourite. I'm sure you can all look that up yourselves in your spare time. Finally, speed reading.
Yeah, something that I'm a bit dubious about, but there's lots of... Oh, over the years, there was always ads on TV about learning to speed read, like you could read Ulysses in 30 minutes. I don't believe it, but you could give it a go and see if you could maybe crack into a few books every day. Apparently, we're inefficient with the way our brain reads words on a page. So there's a better methods of doing that. But I'm not the expert in this, but I suggest that people should give it a go.
Yeah, we have interviewed on this show like that because they have championships for this kind of thing. But it kind of sounds a bit like it takes the joy out of reading.
Yeah, because there's people there, they're flicking the page so fast, you get so many paper cuts, it'd be desperate.
Yeah, that too. Barbara, thanks a million for talking to us today. You stay well, and hopefully we'll all be out in the world in the not too distant future. Barbara Feeney there with some of her suggestions to keep your sanity, or perhaps to age your tipping over into some other place. Mary, though, on Twitter says that what Barbara was talking about, cooking flatbread, she says that was how a lot of cooking was done in Irish farmhouses, a bastable pot oven hanging over the open fire with hot coals on the lid. Colm says he has fake grass out in the balcony. What do I do now? You probably could still do something with the fake grass, depending on how much of it you have. Now, such shade thrown at Bear Grylls. Yes, it was very subtle, the way she did that. And Laura says, could you dig a hole and have the whole beer oven? I don't know the answer to that question. And someone suggests I go to Amazon for my yeasty needs. But I'm trying to avoid Amazon just because, you know, if you're working for Amazon, it's not pleasant. Let's put it that way. We'll take a break. After that, how many people are left-handed?
Moncrief on News Talk. Moncrief on News Talk.
With the all-new Dacia Duster. We've even impressed ourselves with this one.